We come to worship the Lord, great things He hath done, right?
Amen.
If you're turning your Bibles to 1 Peter, we'll begin by answering a question dealing with angels. We're going to encourage different ones. If you have questions, this is the time right before offertory that we take a moment to answer some of the questions that you have about the Bible. And I'm just always excited about the fact that people are turning in questions. Because that's telling me that you're searching, it's telling me that you're hungry, it's telling me that you're desirous to grow. And what a wonderful thing it is. The question that we have today is, do angels have souls? Do they have hearts? Are they capable of love? Do they have relationships? Pretty interesting question, isn't it? Magnificent beings the angels are. The very name means messenger. Messengers of God. There is so much that we don't know about them. But we have descriptions. In one case, we have the description of cherubim, in particular, as you look in Ezekiel in chapter 1, and actually a number of places within that particular book, these great beings of the cherubim with four faces and sometimes 6 to 8 wings reveal themselves. Powerful beings. As we begin to read in Isaiah, as well as in Kings and Chronicles, one angel goes out and slays 185,000 almost instantly. Far greater than man. Daniel stands before an angel, and it says that he was sick for days. Weak and sick for days. An amazing thing to stand before a being such as an angel. And yet, Scripture reminds us that God has given us a position that is greater than the angels. In fact, Paul will write in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Do you not know that the day will come when you will judge the angels?" It's hard to imagine, isn't it? As we come into 1 Peter in chapter 1, there's an interesting thing that's being proclaimed, and that is, of course, the marvelous gospel that God has chosen to proclaim to us. We are so excited about that phrase in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." What an amazing thing that God would love dirt, that He would love us. Nevertheless, God loved us in that He gave His life for us. And as Paul will write in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, that even though He were rich, He became poor, that we might become rich. And He'll tell us that though He was sinless, He became sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Well, Peter will begin to talk about this salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he writes, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow." I can imagine that just that one phrase, "the sufferings of the Messiah," would be a very difficult phrase for the angels to grasp. "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." Clearly, the Scripture is revealing to us is that there is a dynamic of this gospel that seems to stifle, that seems to even baffle angels. They cannot imagine the sting of the gospel. They long to look into the sting of God's love for man. A great passage in Ephesians chapter 3, if you turn there with me. Paul begins to write about this wonderful thing that's called a mystery. A mystery. A truth hidden. And really clearly hidden in ages past to many people, now being made manifest to us, but still hidden to the angels. And so he used this phrase, verse 3, "that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery." Verse 4, "And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery." of Christ. What is that mystery? Well, it's about the unfathomable grace of God. Verse 7, to which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. And in verse 8, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. To bring to light. What is the administration of? It's a mystery. For which angels in ages past has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. God has made the mystery known through the church. Through those saints that will come and receive this wonderful gift of God's grace into their hearts and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A mystery will shine in their lives. I think it's interesting, he actually writes this in verse 9, which for the ages has been hidden in God. Colossians, Paul will write this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? What he clearly is making reference to is the love of God being made manifest in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Paul will mention this in Titus chapter 3. Been poured out within us, this love of God. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. The angels see the power of God. They see the majesty of God. They see the holiness of God. But the love of God, something that they long to look into. It says in verse 10, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to who? The rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. What that's telling us? That's telling us that we're going to be trying to sit down and explain to angelic beings this mystery of God's love to us. That's quite a thought, isn't it? God has so ordained, if you look with me in Hebrews in chapter 1, that angels now will be ministered to those of us who are saints. And what a great chapter, this Hebrews chapter 1, because it gives the stark contrast of these magnificent beings, the angels, being trumped by those who are called Son of God. And he immediately puts in contrast the Son of God to the angels. And the declaration is in verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. Now, one of the things we know is that in the Old Testament, it was proclaimed that the angels brought forth the commandments of God. And it says this in chapter 2, if you just skip over in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, for if the word spoken through, chapter 2, verse 2, if the word spoken through what? Angels proved unalterable. So in the last day, in the days before, prior to this, he has spoken to man in many ways. But in these last days, he says in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. You couldn't say that to any of the angels. Having become, verse 4, much better than what? The angels, as he had inherited a more excellent name than they. What name? Son. Son. To which of the angels did he ever say, thou art my son? Today I have begotten thee, and again I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. What a magnificent thing. He then goes on and says in verse 6, and when again he brings forth the firstborn of the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels winds and ministers a flame of fire. And that's probably describing in particular the seraphim, meaning the flaming ones. But of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of thy kingdom. For thou hast loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. He then states this in verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Which of the angels did he ever call sons? What we begin to realize, and in particular in 1 John in chapter 4, we realize that God is love, and that we receive the love of God, something that the angels do not know about. What a wonderful thing that is. How much do they feel? How much do they understand? How much do they comprehend? What kind of relationships do they have? I think it's interesting that they've never made reference to an angel soul. It is always made reference to an angel as a spirit, but not a soul. And a soul seems to be that which comes within a body. And we know that they're ministering spirits. But God has ordained us to be an eternal body. Think about that. With a distinctive personality that would radiate the manifest nature of Christ in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which of the angels could ever say that? We have the love of God dwelling within us, and the depth of love that God has given us. If I could just close with this in Ephesians, go back in Ephesians chapter 3. He ends in this way. I pray to the Lord my Father, he says, as he starts off this prayer, to all that are his in Christ, in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you might be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above what we could ever imagine, to him be glory, right? This is the power of God that works in us. And we realize that the greatest thing that God has done for us is he's brought us into a relationship as children of God. No wonder John writes, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons, children of God. Father, we give you thanks that even though angelic beings are great and mighty and powerful, somehow you looked upon us and ordained that we should be higher. By your grace, not because of our might, by your kindness, by your mercy, you called us. We give you thanks, and it's inexplicable to us, incomprehensible, but we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.